It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on the Great Eastern.
Mark this. A beast doth come hunting.
No, no, Paul. You're not supposed to eat
it. First the sand, then the pen. God, what times we had.
I love a little dog. Is that it?
Good morning, Newfoundland, and welcome back, peoples of Canada, to the Great Eastern. I'm Paul Moth. Our special New Year's Eve edition is jam-packed. The ghost of BCN past, the Newfoundland Book of Love, traffic czar given sweeping powers of arrest. Adios, Pepito. An amateur thespian's lifelong dream fulfilled, and everything hip and happening for 95. All this for you on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. It's just me and engineer Hollis Duffett in the BCN building today. And on the way up to the studio, Hollis, a well-traveled veteran of services radio, remarked that the whole festive season is that much more real here in Newfoundland. He's right. A couple of weeks ago, the winds came up, a freezing rain came down, and the lights went out in St. John's. The city of legends struggled with a two-day power outage that has come to be known as Blackout 94. Reg down the road from me had an entire caribou and the better part of a big bull moose in his freezer thawing out on him. So he pumps up the two Coleman stoves in the veranda and has the whole block over for the biggest kind of a scoff. And all the time, everybody with the old transistor radios tuned into BCN and weather watchdog Erling Biggs. It was a blast. I didn't know my neighbors when I lived in Los Angeles. I was even kind of scared of them, they being so heavily armed and all. Of course, Reg is heavily armed too, but it's different. We're different, and I like it that way. I like it here. The power came back, and so did the hubbub of Christmas. Yuletide and New Year's used to be a particularly difficult season for a reformed substance abuser like myself. For my first couple of dry years, I found it a real trial. But this year, fully conscious the whole time, I'm beginning to see the season in a new light. Although I'm so topped up now on non-alcoholic cocktails, on cranberry and pineapple juice, I'm getting fruit flies. On Christmas Day, me and Mom went over to the brother, Frank's, for the big meal. Frank's a little uncomfortable with my new sobriety, so he hides his tumbler of rum under the couch and makes like he hasn't been drinking all day. He puts on the coffee and asks when I got back in town. 6 years ago, Frank. Soon, though, it was the goose with all the trimmings, roast potatoes and Brussels sprouts from Mom's garden, and the pudding, the gifts, home, family. For the first time in ages, I find myself looking forward to the new year in the dominion of Terra Nova, Terra's Tobacco. We've got a great year-end show for you today that'll shoot us into 95 like a cannon. Peoples of Canada, I promise you, a happy new year.
Radio Ish Lundrigan joins me weekly in the BCN archives for our regular In the Vault segment where we dust off some of the classic shows done here at the station over the years.
For Christ's sake, Florence, I'm a married man.
I come in.
Oh, come in, come in. I'll just clear away a few of these things here now. Perhaps drop a chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Some Collins mix, maybe.
Collins mix will be fine. I've been looking forward to this, Ish. You know, the BCN has such a rich tradition of Christmas broadcasting.
Yes, we used to have all measure of sing-alongs, special seasonal radio dramas for the kids.
I remember, was it Little Billy Penton?
Little Davy Penton's Christmas in the Mines. Yes, of course, that had to come off the air. Liberal sensibilities.
Oh, that was a great show. Little Davy Penton meets old Saint Nick when he stops off at the mine to get his lumps of coal for all the children who'd been bad that year. Boy, that sure put this young lad on the straight and narrow every December.
A good cautionary tale, Paul. And we had Blue Seagoing Santa, too.
With Lloyd Duncan?
Captain Lloyd Duncan, yes.
Same problem, huh?
By their very nature, children's stories are filled with graphic violence. What child doesn't love a good scare?
Yeah, but Seagoing Santa might have gone a little bit too far-ish. I mean, you hear now about the victims of Seagoing Santa support groups, and I know a few people myself who have permanent emotional scars from that show.
Yeah, sooks. Certainly Lloyd's portrayal of a tormented Santa gone mad was a powerful piece of work, but you can't shelter children from the real world forever. Sooner or later, they're going to have to accept that life is difficult and short. I think Seagoing Santa was educational in that respect. And people wonder why the whole works is crumbling.
So we're going to hear one of those shows today.
I'd love to, Paul, but if I played a clip from Seagoing Santa, the CRTC would have our license in jig time. They're just waiting for that one little slip-up. No, I thought I'd play something from one of our many Christmas at the Sand specials.
Wow, Christmas at the Sanatorium. What year is this from?
This is from 1954, Paul. 5 years in the Confederation and the island still suffering the scourge of TV. Oh, these were great shows. Every year for almost 20 years, broadcast live from the sanatorium.
It's Christmas at the Sand with the Jack Power Dancers, Little Kirby Wells, and the Great Eastern Orchestra. Captain Lloyd Duncan dusts the gee with the Iron Lung Flares, and Benjamin Humphreys whistles seasonal favorites. Now, here's your host, Ish Lundgren!
Land and welcome to Christmas at the Sand. It's great to see so many familiar faces in the audience again this year. And we've got a great show for you today. A funny thing happened to me on the way into the sanatorium.
Jesus, how old were you in 1954?
Well, Ron Gillespie was under the weather that year, and they gave me the show. This was the first big special I ever hosted.
And the Great Eastern Orchestra.
Oh, that was a 20-piece band, and they were good, too.
Jack the Reaper, he replies.
I said, well, Jack, let me introduce you to me Auntie B. Auntie Bionic.
Oh, I don't know, Ish. I appreciate your goodwill and all, but, you know...
What? What would you do? Shut out the shut-ins?
This new found land doth stir ungodly beast. Thoughts weird flame men's brains after wine and feast.
Captain Lloyd, what are you doing the gee?
Now the sea doth freeze and grind doth here against these withered, milkless dogs.
God, Lloyd had talent. What a tragedy. What a waste. Now, this was a big hit. The Whistle Along Messiah with Benjamin Humphreys. This might have been Ben's very first appearance on the BCN.
I know you were involved in the program, Ish, and that you're proud of your work here, but it just doesn't seem...
For a while there, we also had Christmas at Our Majesty's. And that would follow in the afternoon.
Christmas at the penitentiary.
Well, Christmas was a busy broadcast day. First the sand, then the pen. God, what times we had. The people appreciated the programs, really got into the spirit of the season.
And what are your plans this season, Ish?
My daughter always comes to the house. You know, her husband, the good Dr. Duncan, doesn't celebrate Christmas, doesn't believe in religious holidays, so naturally, you know. And again, the children come and they sing. They know a lot of hymns in Latin. They're very bright. But it'll be all so very...
Well, thanks as always, Ish Lundgren.
It's on the rebound, though, you know. Tuberculosis, growing gap between rich and poor, collapse of public health, perhaps next year. Ish Lundgren live at the Sand again.
Oh.
And you could have your own show, Paul. Paul at the Pen. I'm where you're rating with the John Howard since you're...
Hey, Slundrigan, we'll see you again.
Of course, next week. In the vault.
The Great Eastern. Great radio. Coast to coast in Newfoundland. On the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
Our very own literary critic and popular author, Kathleen Hanrahan, joins me once again for a look back at a big 1994 Newfoundland letters. Good morning, Kathleen.
Morning, Paul. You know, it certainly was a big year, and I can't remember one so marked by controversy.
That's right, that's right. There was the big stink about the John Cabot log forgery.
Uh-huh, yeah, and then two Newfoundland books published in the United States seized at the border.
Right.
The second one just last week, and the Newfoundland literary community are in a snit.
A little history, please.
Well, last July, Customs confiscated a shipment of Let's Be Frank, the unauthorized biography of former Premier and federal Tory party fixer Frank Moores.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days ago, they grabbed The Woolly Tongue, also known as the Newfoundland Book of Love.
I understand Let's Be Frank is a steamy tell-all about a man who really got around.
Oh, did he ever? It's said that he made his way into the hearts of a nation. And the book, although by all accounts quite accurate, is in clear violation of the criminal code as it applies to pornography.
You were in the States and
mm-hmm.
you saw the biography, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it unfit to print or are we overreacting? I mean, it's true, Newfoundland loved Frank Moores, but he loved Newfoundland right back.
It's the way he loved Newfoundland. I mean, I'm against any form of censorship, you know that, but this book is...
Well, I'm more puzzled by the Woolly Tongue case. That goes way back. The first Newfoundland edition dates back to...
1767.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's been called Newfoundland's Kama Sutra, an ancient guide to lovemaking. Well, it's simply never come to the Canadian Customs attention before now. It's always been printed right here on the rock.
The Woolly Tongue could hardly be called pornography, though.
Not true. A couple of these positions are clearly in violation of the law.
Well, such as?
Two men in a punt.
Roseanne Scoke, are you red?
Picking a berry.
Who in a healthy relationship hasn't picked the occasional berry?
There's also Rabbits in a Basket,
mm-hmm.
Sisters of Mercy, and the most controversial illustration, The Woodsman.
Ever been in a lumber camp, Kathleen?
No.
Well, let me say that although The Woodsman may be unnatural, it is not uncommon.
Well, it looks quite dangerous.
Well, this etching is from before the era of protective equipment. You don't have nearly as many accidents these days.
Well, if you say so, Paul.
Now, what about next year? Do you see any trends for 95?
You know, Paul, I've got a feeling that we're already seeing the signs of a talking books revival.
Talking books?
No, I'm not talking about tapes. I'm talking about the hiring of authors to come and read their works. You know, at parties, mm-hmm. conventions, that kind of thing. I was at a few really swank do's over the holidays where authors came and they were performing. I mean, it's quite fashionable.
People actually listen?
Well, no, not very much, but it's, you know, more like a background thing, you know, like piano player, something like that. It's a kind of a beat thing.
Oh, that's what those people were doing at your party. That's pretty demeaning, don't you think?
Well, I understand they're paid reasonably. It gives them a chance to get out a bit, you know, work on the material, maybe make a few important contacts.
If you say so.
Now, Paul, you know, I don't want to be indiscreet, but can we expect anything from you in the next year? A sequel, perhaps, to last year's wildly successful Rocky Road to Recovery?
Thanks for the plug, Kathleen. But no, nothing in English. Although, curiously enough, I did have a book published in Mexico earlier this month.
Mexico?
Yes, Pepito y Yo. That's Pepito and me.
Well, that's quite a revelation, Paul. What's the book all about?
Well, I don't talk about it much, but back in the 70s, I had a brief, though all too eventful, career in the Mexican cinema.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote and directed several of the Pepito El Grande movies.
Pepito El Grande?
Yeah, Pepito's the Mexican equivalent of Lassie, I guess.
Really? What kind of a dog?
Well, you know.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, Pepito, who was a national hero in Mexico, had to finally be put down there last year, and it's just kind of a sentimental look back at an old colleague and friend.
Great, Paul. How'd the book do?
Very well, actually. But, you know, anything to do with Pepito sells big in Mexico. As the kids say in Guadalajara, perro pequeño, amor grande.
I love a little dog. Is that it?
Well, it doesn't really translate, but literally it's small dog, big love. So, Kathleen, before we go, what was your pick of 1994?
That's a tough one, Paul. I'm not sure I have one, but my seasonal favorite was definitely Karen Parsons' A Child's Christmas in Avalon, a charming compendium of Yuletide traditions.
Yes, I flipped through it. It's delightfully illustrated.
Bring back a few memories?
Oh, my dear, it sure did. The wailing of the youngest, especially. I can remember Dad had come home on Christmas Eve, you know, doing the tree, and he'd be all holly jolly, and we'd all hide behind the Chesterfield, and then he'd call out for Kevin or for Janet or whoever was the youngest, and, well, they just had to go, and he'd lay the boots right into them, just wail on them. Yes, oh, my. Yes, sure, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about some of the games for kids. Smoking the tree.
Smoking the tree.
Snow blowing.
Oh,
some of these date back to the 18th century, Paul.
I'll bet. You know, it's good to see such a quality family book doing so well. Now, Kathleen, you've got the inside track on the publishing scene here in the province. What literary delights now in galleys will we see in bookstores in 1995?
Well, look forward to the latest edition of the Encyclopedia of St. John's, Volume 6, Municipal to Sewage. Another in Lionel Marr's series of self-help books with a twist, Make Me Care. And on the fiction, or perhaps I should say friction front, it's Delbert Onglow's new novel, Shagger. Now, the literati around town claim that the characters are thinly disguised personalities from the publishing and broadcasting business.
Oh, like...
I don't want to give anything away here, Paul, but there is a strangely familiar balding guy with a serious substance abuse problem in there.
Oh, that's old news. Kathleen, thanks for coming in on New Year's Eve. You got any plans for this evening?
Well, we'll start off at the Hotel Palmer.
That's always a blast.
And you, Paul?
Well, my brother Frank was supposed to take Mom, but he says he can't do it now, so I say I'll do it, and I cancel the night with Rhonda, and she makes plans to go out with the girls. Then I hear back from Mom that she's doing the midnight bowling thing with the seniors. So, basically, I don't know. I might wander down to the harbor.
Ah, someone will call, Paul.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's nice to see you, Kathleen, and have a happy new year.
And to you.
And here's Ron Hines from his album Crier's Paradise, and If I Left You Alone with My Heart.
If I left you alone with my heart, could I fall depending upon you to do your part? Could I drift off with a voice somewhere out there in the dark? If I left you alone with my heart. Oh, I've been up and down this highway. I've seen 20 years go by like you'd see in the twinkling of.
If I Left You Alone with My Heart. Contest time, contest time. What is that noise from Newfoundland? The old year is on the way out, but we still have an unidentified noise of Newfoundland. Hollis Duffett, engineer extraordinaire. Let's hear the noise before we draw an envelope.
No, stay out of it. Stay there, I'll get it.
No. I don't know. It doesn't seem that hard to me, but then I know what it is. So down into the mail sack we go, and out comes an entry from Corner Brook, the second city, numero duo on the Newfoundland list of town sites, and it's from Bren Gallagher. And Bren writes, "Hi, Paul. I listen to your show every week and thoroughly enjoy all the items, but mainly the audience participation ones. They're my favorites, too. Your special from Corner Brook was fabulous. Thanks. I tried real hard to get into the studio, but was manhandled by security. I do not hold this against you." We all regret that incident, Bren. No hard feelings. "Anyway, I think your noise in Newfoundland is someone being scalded by hot chip fat. Hope this wins. I remain a special listener, listening to a special show and a special host. Say, if you're ever out this way again, give me a call at, the rest of this is pretty personal. Thanks, Bren Gallagher from Corner Brook, for the invitations. But your answer is wrong. Keep on trying. Everybody else, keep on trying. And we still have no answer to the sound question, what's that noise from Newfoundland? If you think you know what this sound is, drop us a line at the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland at 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C3T8. The correct answer will cause a fabulous prize from the BCN boutique to arrive on your doorstep, courtesy of the Royal Mails. Maestro Hollis, play us that sweet cacophony one more time."
This week on Medicine Chest, purgatives, electrolyte stabilizers, fetal tissue, Pepsi. Three doctors separate the myths from the science of the hangover cure. An autopsy of the famous Tilt Cove man reveals bologna. Perhaps finally putting an end to speculation that the 115-year-old Bayman lived to such a ripe old age on a diet of only tea, sugar, and evaporated milk. Our consumer panel blind test and rate three new ointments that will hit the market in 1995.
I like number two. It's cool, soothing, and I can already feel the subdermal action.
But what about the odor, Morris?
I like it. I do. And thumbs up on the new applicator.
Beyond Prozac, the return of the saw and scalp will give cosmetic pharmacology a run for the money.
I feel better.
Better than well?
What?
And our roving reporter, Bert Butler, gets 1995 off to a fresh start with a high colonic on Medicine Chest, tonight at 8 on BCM, 520 on the long wave.
Newfoundland's theater year gets off to a glorious start. January 1st with the gala production of Ned Burns' Carlos, Duke of Portugal, The Tragedy of the Portuguese, the earliest known Newfoundland play. Staged in 1995 amidst the gracious cinder blocks of the new Old Gob Hall in Ferryland by an ensemble of veteran thespians. I thought it would be nice to pay them a little visit as they frantically prepare for this year's production.
The geese spoke up and down the shore.
Ah, the theater. The grease paint, the backstage breakdowns, careers destroyed by the vicious innuendo of your peers, bitter personal attacks, professional lives in the hands of unforgiving, rum-sodden critics. This is what it's all about.
Aye, aye, fair captain, if thou comest aboard.
Wrong! Darling, take off that ridiculous mustache. Francesca, my pet, can I speak to you for a moment, dear?
The old Gob players have recently come under the guiding hand of renowned star of stage and screen, Elizabethan scholar, and director of this year's Carlos, Duke of Portugal, Christoph Sullivan. This year's Tragedy of the Portuguese certainly has a winning look, Christoph.
Ah, thank you, Paul. Well, as you know, after several years of more experimental productions, we've decided to return to a more traditional interpretation.
You're a scholar as well as a director, Christoph. Where do you stand on the Murren-Shakespeare question?
I don't believe they were the same man. Now, there's no evidence to suggest that the bird ever visited the New World. I think a more likely explanation is that Shakespeare plagiarized Merwin's Guy, which, as you know, predates Will's tormented Dane by a good 10 years.
So you think Shakespeare saw a small production of Carlos somewhere and ripped it off?
I do. And the scholarly consensus, I'm happy to say, is moving that way.
When was the play first performed? In what year?
Well, New Year's Day, 1587, Paul. We know that. Now, from a reference in the diary of a nobleman who witnessed the production not far from here in Lord Baltimore's Great Hall.
Did it get a good review?
Mixed, actually. Something about the sack-suckling stable-master Merwin arranged a not unseen first, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize the context, Paul. Winter, pestilence, disease, this place. Not exactly the utopia they expected.
But Merwin's play remains unknown outside Newfoundland.
With the exception of the Shostakovich opera, yes.
Now, I see the gangplank is here and the poop is there, so this must be the
scene. We've been working on scene 4. Of Act 5, you know, when Carlos returns to his ship, the Grand Madre, troubled by his discovery that Lady Baltimore...
is actually a man.
Yes. Well, you know, that's got to be one of the most powerful scenes in all of Newfoundland theater.
Well, for those in Canada who are likely not familiar with the play, Carlos had gone to the Baltimore house the previous night to profess his love for Lady Baltimore and discovered his sujet de désir drinking with some of the servants. Now, when he embraces the merry widow, the she-male becomes excited. And then Carlos makes his heartbreaking discovery.
Ah, yes. The role of Carlos is the plum role for any Newfoundland thespian.
And I see you've cast yourself in the role this year, appropriately.
Well, one does what one can, Paul. Now, I know you used to be involved in amateur theatrics.
It's true, Christoph. I've logged a few miles on the old boards, but never, never have I done the Guy.
Well, come on, Paul.
Yeah. 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 People, people! People, please, please, please. I'm sure Paul has many other things. Well, perhaps we can afford you a small opportunity here.
No. Oh, I couldn't.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Well, okay.
Oh. Well, very well, then. I suppose that means I'll have to take the small but pivotal role of Juan the Mate. Here's a script.
No, that's okay. I don't need a script.
No script.
No.
Fine. The Tragedy of Carlos, Duke of Portugal, Scene 4, Act 5. Mark this. A beast doth come hunched, its gams bent, its mane a mop. 'Tis not Brit nor Bay if a man. What goes there?
A fool, nay, a tool among men.
Halt, festered lump, lest I dash out your sorry brain.
'Tis I, good Juan. Your master.
Ah, good sir. A master and well-worn. The hymen of his love is torn. A Lady Baltimore, sayest yea.
A lady? Nay, nor man.
Methinks my master is gaming, playing puzzles with naming. If not lady, then lord.
Or skirts with swords that did prick me when I did touch it. Oh, Juan, upon my most gentle caress I did rouse a man beneath a dress.
You riddle me, dull master.
Dost thou make me spell it? Against all nature, fool, agree that scent and shape do not make she. Lady Baltimore is he.
Sir, what?
This newfound land doth stir ungodly beast. Thoughts weird flame men's brains after wine and feast. Juan, look, e'en now the sea doth freeze and grind us here against these withered, milkless dogs. Wouldst I to my eastern home return? Let me kiss off Catherine and good Mary, where hags thou sail and God forewarns the male, where man is man and woman true is true. False gates and painted lips hide nothing new. But would I hearken there to loins like mine, in Lisbon's harbor safe and amongst my own? What would my own be? Would it be young men? And you, sweet Juan, the servant good and true, methinks of love. Us bodkins, now methinks of you. Oh, free me from this place of fright and noise, O new-found yet cursed land. O vile isle.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Seem to all have something else to do. It was very nice, Paul. Quite good, especially for an amateur. I'm surprised.
Oh, thank you, Christoph. That was a dream come true.
Yes, indeed. Well, look, I can't guarantee you the role of Carlos, but If you want to come down next year and read for a minor part, we'd love to see you.
Really? Well, that's Ned Moran's Carlos, Duke of Portugal, with Christoph Sullivan in the starring role, and direction by Christoph Sullivan, beginning on New Year's Day at the Old Gob Hall here in Fairyland.
Curtain is at 3 p.m., and the 11th and final act must end before midnight. Six performances in all.
Closing on Old Christmas Day, right, with the traditional raising of the set?
Mm-hmm.
Christoph, break a leg.
Thank you, Paul. See you on the 1st.
Newfoundland trad rockers Figgy Duff with Rabbits in the Basket.
Good morning, I'm Eleanor Power with the BCN Saturday schedule. Up next at 11:30, it's Look It's with host Pander Parabrome. This week, Look It's the St. John's Lockup as Pander oversees preparations for the busiest night of the year. At 1, Chef Paul Benoit starts the afternoon off with a bang on Paul's Pot, baking up a festive overproof rum pudding. At 2, it's Epitaph 94, a special year-end edition of Interred with Morris Jesso. At 4:30, holiday humor for the whole family with the Three Wise Guys. Today, Goldie, Frank, and Murray head for Bethlehem and jeopardize an entire faith with their wild manger antics. Then at 5, it's the BCN 5 o'clock news with me, Eleanor Power. At 6, on Playlets, it's the continuation of Live in Hope, Diaper Boy. This week, Diaper Boy asks, what price love? And don't forget, starting tonight at 9, the barbed wire's in place, the pepper spray is in hand. It's Yubi Hendrix in his broadcast cage from the St. John's waterfront with live coverage of Countdown 94-95. A full afternoon and evening of programming on BCN 520. I'm Eleanor Power, wishing you all a Happy New Year from everyone here at the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, All Newfoundland Radio.
Our political panel has braved the elements and festive traffic to try and join me in the studio for a last kick at the 94 can. Pundit and pollster J. Richard Kandau and show trial host Ariel Flint were successful. However, political economist Carl Johnson was not as lucky with the traffic flow, and he joins us now from a phone booth in Manuals. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Owing to tonight's midnight celebration on the waterfront, all traffic has been rerouted to the Outer Ring Road. It's another bold move by newly appointed traffic czar Colonel Ian McDonald in his attempt to clean up the downtown.
McDonald is insane. Coming down here today was like crossing into Albania in the 60s.
That's a trip I'm sure you've made a few times, Ms. Flint.
He's advocating sidearms for the meter maids.
Look, this is a man who incarcerated an entire community on the West Coast on trumped-up charges of ritual satanic abuse. Those people, every one of them innocent, are still behind bars. That's the kind of can-do attitude to law enforcement we need to redress years of mismanagement by a left-leaning parking establishment in this city.
It's the kind of attitude that ruins a good party like the waterfront. Here we see a once popular movement, a real party of the people, co-opted by a repressive state apparatus. You know, this used to be a folk celebration of hope.
You're making me cry, Aaron.
Well, I, for one, will not be attending.
Oh, you won't be missed either.
Cattle prods are not my idea of a New Year's joy buzzer. And giving the traffic czar sweeping powers of arrest, detention without trial, come on, Richard.
The special powers are only in place for the holiday season. In any event, who's going to fill up the detention centers? The brown baggers, that's who. Somebody's got to work the camps.
We really don't have a lot of time today, so let's move along. Next item, has the Yetman Initiative jeopardized the omnibus referendum legislation?
I think Wilf Yetman now realizes that challenging the leader of the opposition to a psychiatric examination was foolhardy, and that eventually everyone would have to submit to an examination or, you know, be suspect. It's,
Oh, isn't it a shame that poor Ed Roberts may never again see the light of day?
One hasty diagnosis, and the Minister of Justice is an institutional vegetable. I don't think that's what Wilf had in mind. You know, politics makes for jangled nerves.
The fact remains that 37 of 49 people in the House are now clinically insane. It's literally the nut house of assembly.
Clinically is the key word there, Ariel. Let's face it, the technical threshold for insanity is very low.
I'll take your word on that. Anyway, the only good thing that's come out of this whole mess is the derailing of the omnibus referendum.
What? Well, I hear a firm no from Ariel Flint on the omnibus referendum. Carl, how about you?
Wait. The omnibus referendum would have finally resolved a number of issues that have bogged down Newfoundland politics for decades.
Oh, yeah? Like what? Naming an official provincial animal.
I see Jay Richards wearing his Up the Pine Marten button.
Well, you know, the Pine Marten is the perfect provincial animal. It's reclusive and on the verge of extinction.
Well, I was leaning more towards the lynx, you know. It's rarely out in the daytime, solitary, and vicious when you corner it.
Boys! Do you think it's reasonable to expect the public to decide 137 separate matters with one vote?
It's the new democracy. 1-800, stick it to the left.
I can think of another direction you could stick it towards.
Oh, yeah? Would you prefer endless public debate? Let's clean house!
But having to vote a single yes or no on the entire package...
Yeah, I found that problematic. I wanted to vote yes on school condoms, but no on contracting out social services to the Hyundai Corporation.
You know, you've just got to get your priorities straight, Paul.
Toyota, actually, Paul.
You see, this is exactly what I was talking about. Suddenly it's back to splitting hairs and compromises, and before you know it, sound political programs are sacrificed yet again to social complexity. Let's get on with it. Look to Alberta, the Klein miracle. Let's get government out of governing.
All right, let's take a look at our own role for a minute now. Does the media go too far in its pursuit of stories? I'm thinking here in particular of the public outrage over CBC Radio's treatment of the Leo Sweeney affair.
You know, they were just doing their job, Paul. They may have been a little overzealous, but the fact remains that they got the goods on Sweeney.
But exhuming the body, Ariel, without the family's permission?
Well, they found the semen-stained hockey cards, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, Leo Sweeney was an old friend of mine. I was disgusted.
By the hockey cards or by the exhumation?
Oh, very funny, Ariel. The man has been dead for 6 years. Let the matter rest.
Well, I'm getting a signal from Hollis here. We've got to wrap it up, folks. Any New Year's resolutions, Ariel?
I've got to get off a few committees.
Jay Richard?
You know, to keep better financial records, avoid another unfortunate mix-up like that.
Carl, how about you?
Well,
I'm sorry. We've run out of time completely. I'm going to have to wish you, Carl, a very happy New Year. And Ariel and Richard here in the studio with me, happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Paul.
Within hours, 1994 will be nothing more than a memory in a tax year you might rather forget. Join host of BCN Financial Advisory, the happy tight one himself, Bernard Ayres, in the ballroom of Hotel Palmer for... 94! It's the 10th anniversary. of the annual dinner, dance, and dummy fun sign-off.
Sinking fun. Cheese futures.
The mysterious and underutilized RRXP. Ever hear of a banking regulator in Moldova?
No.
Neither has Revenue Canada. Learn how seemingly worthless shares in Bernard Ayres Limited Inc., 1989 Panama Mining Corporation, and group of funds can save you thousands.
Listen, Bern. To brother-in-law's up there in the biggest kind of a house on Javelin Court. He gets a new truck every year, and the man's only employment is night watchman in a hen house. Bernard, tell me, man, how do he manage?
With suspicious yet perfectly legal and shortly to be closed tax loopholes. Hello, I'm Bernard Ayres, the happy tightwad. Please join me this evening for our traditional 11th hour tax avoidance frenzy. Thousands have saved millions with my program. Don't be a patsy for the tax man. Hide what you cannot spend.
Right now. That's tonight. Ballroom of the Hotel Palmer on the waterfront. And don't forget to tune in to BCN 520, 6 a.m. Saturdays for the happy tightwad with Bernard Ayres.
The Great Eastern is nothing if not on top of cultural trends, and with 1995 just around the corner, I thought we should seek out an expert to tell us what's in and what's out for next year. Almost everyone I asked agreed that there was really only one person in this burg to talk to, Merv Comerford, an internationally sought-after sensibility and tone consultant. Merv was good enough to suffer brunch with me yesterday at the Café des Poseurs. Merv, did you have a good Christmas?
Christmas is out, Paul. Had a great hogmanay, though.
Boy, this is fantastic. You know, I've always wanted to eat here, but I could never get a table, even when the place is empty.
It's so in, it's on the way out. Jesus, there are lawyers in here.
Are you ready to order?
Salad Marienbad and eggs rock roux.
Mr. Rococo, Madame Demophile?
Another Horlicks. And what's the electrolyte special today?
Hypothalamus of the grill.
Blue, thank you.
Thanks. You're just back from Berlin or somewhere?
If I tell you, you promise not to move there.
Are you kidding? This is my town.
Hamelburg.
Salad Marienbad is here.
Thank you. God, what is this? Is this arugula? It looks like grass.
It is grass. No, Paul. You're not supposed to eat it.
No.
It's an ornamental salad. You just play with it, with your fork.
Like this?
No, man. More disaffected. Christ, Paul. People are staring.
Hypothalamus, mademoiselle.
And merci, le beau.
That sure looks good. I always order the... I wish I'd had the hypothalamus. So, Merv, what's in and what's out for next year?
The big picture?
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Well, the end of irony.
Hmm.
We saw parody disappear in 93.
Parody disappeared in 93? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, the world's just gotten too weird too fast. You can't make fun of anything anymore, or you're bound to be taken seriously.
Yeah, this is true. So what does 95 have in store?
Pity. Huh. You're seeing it on TV now with all the new, painfully stupid characters.
I didn't think that was intentional.
This year, you'll see a lot more characters who are deeply uninteresting and aware of it. Or terminally ill.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, well, the thing will be to make you feel consumed by feelings of pity.
Yeah.
Love Story, the series.
Wow, pity, huh?
Perhaps I'm jumping the gun a bit here, Paul, but I'm pitying you already.
So, should I want your pity, Merv? Is that cool or uncool?
It's totally cool, as long as you pity me, too.
Oh, okay, say I do.
Great, then you're invited to the party.
Really, what party?
There is no party, Paul.
Oh, I get it. You know, years ago, Hip got me into some very serious trouble, Merv, and uncool has proven to be a lot safer. But I finally got a new relationship happening now, and I want to keep it exciting, you know, cutting edge. So maybe I'm ready to be a hip-happening guy again. What should I do? What's my day going to look like?
You want to be in this year?
Mm-hmm.
Take the bus to work. Everybody will be riding the bus.
Hmm.
You're working on the jumble.
I do the crossword.
No, you're doing the jumble.
I have a hard time with the jumble.
Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
You write with a pencil. You don't use computers or talk about them. All that cyber crap is out.
Mm-hmm.
At work, you trust no one. Open hostility. Your career?
Yeah.
Collections. The middle class is collapsing. You're terrorizing homes in the burbs. It's lunchtime. Where do you eat?
Vietnamese.
Bavarian. Sausage. Kraut. Dumplings. Huge servings. You're fat. You're alive.
So I get fat?
Only if you want to be irresistible.
Fat is sexy?
Not plump. Huge fat. Life-threatening obesity. Sumo. Work is over. You need to relax.
Darts, bowling.
Crokinole. You go to the pub. Everyone there is getting pissed, horribly drunk, and they're all playing crokinole.
I stopped drinking.
Recreational drug of choice?
Ecstasy, but...
Insulin. You want to go to a movie?
The New Asian Cinema?
Old Scandinavian Educational.
Where am I going to find that?
Vacation Hotspot.
St. Bart's.
Ugu Bamba. Excuse me, Peter.
Paul, actually, but it's okay.
Why did you call it that? Opera's back in. No, Rex Murphy isn't in. He's around. There's a big difference. Ben Murphy's better. Yeah, the pity thing. Look, I'm at lunch. Can I call you back from the bus? Ciao. I'm sorry, Paul. I've got to run.
Oh, but I've barely gotten through my list, Mark.
Quickly, then. Quickly.
Okay, shoes.
Sandals with socks.
Oh, can do. Fashion? Hemlines?
Bagism. All beige. Look, I got to take off.
Performance art?
Assisted suicide.
Literature?
No books. Korean comics. Seen with, not read.
Now, how about music?
Liz Band. See you later, Paul.
Wow. Merv Comfort. Happening. I need one of those cell tells.
Your check, monsieur.
Oh. Thanks. Yeah, that's pretty expensive water. And hey, what about my eggs? The Great Eastern, failing never to make every effort to be hip. That was Liz Band with One Song. We've reached the end of another year and another year-end special. But the season isn't over. Not by a long shot. Amazingly enough, the festivities just keep on a-rollin' here in the unemployment capital of Canada. Newfoundlanders love a party. And the 12 days of Christmas are nothing if not one big party, what with New Year's Eve thrown into the mix, and old Christmas Day still widely celebrated on the Rock, Boxing Day, New Year's Day, the circumcision, the Epiphany, more days to celebrate on than reasons to celebrate. That is Newfoundland. And then there's the fact that Christmas attracts prodigal Newfoundlanders like a flame attracts moths. There's no shortage of returning sons and daughters who have ventured far afield in the pursuit of life, love, work, and easy money. Back they come, seeking the kind of party that never seems to happen on the mainland. The Newfoundland party. No holds barred, twist off the cap and throw it away, caution to the winds, not happy till you've seen the bottom of the bag. It can be very attractive. And 94 has been a good year for me. I have a lot to celebrate tonight. The hour is fast approaching. I'm going to the waterfront in hopes of re-meeting some of those prodigal Newfoundlanders, pals from bygone days. And you know, it's been such a good year for me that I thought, what the hey? One glass of bubbly, one celebratory line, just one. Who would it hurt? It's cool. And these days, cool is everything. In the unforgettable words of Ned Murren's Carlos, Duke of Portugal, enticing me to hearth and grate most warm, to toast and share a flagon with hail mates, to come once more to home, to live, to live. Happy New Year, everybody. Fellow Canadians, that's all the time we have for our year-end special. If you'd like to write us with questions or answers, please do so at the Great Eastern, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland. Our postal code is A1C3T8. Or, if you're flush, phone us at 709-576-5240. Thanks to our technician, Hollis Duffett, who came in on his day off, and to BCN's Director of Radio, Ish Lundrigan. Newfoundland listeners, stay tuned for Look It's with host Pander Pierre Bromé. Today, look, it's the lockup. My name is Paul Moss.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Good morning, St. John's. I'm Erling Biggs, BCN's weather watchdog with traffic alert, brought to you by Furlong Knobs. Peppermint, molasses, or butterscotch, enjoy a Furlong Knob. Caution is urged for all downtown bound motorists. Traffic is congested along all major arteries into the city as revelers try to get the jump on waterfront parking. On the Torbay 500 this morning, I'm advised by Jerry Fitzpatrick in our BCN mobile that the Kmart access road is blocked by a disabled vehicle. A detour at Hong's Takeout along Major's Path is advised.